the Tuesday, February 27th, 2024, public supervisors meeting. Call the meeting to order, and our first order of business is to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Christman, if you wouldn't mind taking the roll, please.
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda, here. Supervisor Corrado.
Here.
Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
There are four present, Madam Chair. Supervisor Abruzzo notified the office this afternoon that he would not be in attendance this evening.
Okay, thank you. And we have a quorum for this evening. Just a reminder, even though it is posted here in the meeting room, all of our meetings are recording. So I want to advise everybody that this meeting is being recorded, and it's so that we can keep accurate minutes. So our stenographer is over here taking notes. If you are a speaker presenting tonight, please come to the podium. Make sure that the microphone is on. Make sure that you state your name and spell your name so that we know who's speaking, and give us your address. And it's all just for the purpose of creating accurate minutes. So with that, we will open up to our first public comment, and we wanted to make a note in terms of public comment. I know that there's probably people here that would like to offer comments in regards to item number D of new business on our agenda, which is the sketch plan for 1245 Cocoa Avenue. And what we're going to do this evening, that is a sketch plan that this is the first time we're all seeing that sketch plan. So we're going to have the sketch plan presented. We'll be able to ask our questions, and then we will open up for a public comment period for anyone here that would like to place comment in the record in regards to that agenda item. It's easier to work it through that way so that everyone gets to see the plan, gets to hear our questions, and then you have better sense of any additional questions or comments that you want to put on the record. So that's how we're going to move public comment. In the meantime, is there anyone that would like to place comment about anything else on the public record this evening? Please come on up to the podium.
My name is Barry Buck, B-U-C-K, Corey Road in the township. I have comments on two different things, one being waste management. Are they to be delayed also? So
if you'd like to put your comment on, that's fine. They are our first agenda item. So if you'd like to offer your public comment now, that's fine.
Which would be more appropriate, when they are here to address them?
Well, if you want to hold your public comment until after they speak, that's fine. We can bring you up back up when we reopen public comment after item D, if you're okay with waiting. But if you'd like to offer comment now, you're welcome to.
I have 3 minutes, so
okay.
That might take longer than 3 minutes to deal with waste management.
Okay.
My other comments are relative to the deplorable condition of Division Street. Now, where I live, many people might not even know that we are in the township, because we are bordered on the north by Homestown Borough, on the west by Homestown Borough, on the south by Lower Dauphin High School, and on the east by Lower Dauphin Middle School. So if you took a survey, you'd probably find out not many people know we're there. I will give kudos to Kim and DTMA, because there was an issue with one of the sewer covers there last summer, and she took care of it in 2 days. The rest of it deals with the resurfacing of Division Street. It's deplorable. You, sir, resurfaced a lot of streets in the township that aren't nearly as old as what Quarry Road is. And I know, talking to Mr. Clark on the roads program, it doesn't matter how old, it's how they were built. Well, this road has more quilts than, or more patches than Grandma's quilt. And I started a year and a half ago talking to him. He told me I had to wait till the budget was passed last year. I did. I called up, made sure that the budget was passed for roads. I called him this spring. He says, we're going to come out and patch the road. Well, they did a couple patches. It's really bad at the three-way intersection of Quarry Road, Waltonville, and Division Street. You go on up, if you have a glass of cream, you will have cheese till you get up to Water Street. It's really, really bad. They did nothing. They patched one little area, Prospect, and they did the intersection of Quarry, Waltonville, and Division. It's still as bad as it was. We have tractor trailers. I have a picture of a tractor trailer coming out of Lord Dauphin High School, the back end, down Division Street. No need for that in that residential area. As I said, there's a lot of patchwork already done there. So I would like to see that get resurfaced like some others. That road's been there for 70 years without any real repairs other than patchwork. There's no less than 100 Lord Dauphin school buses use that intersection every day. They come out the back of the school, they go over to middle school, and then they come back, and then there's miscellaneous buses up and down Division Street. I would encourage you supervisors, take a ride up there and see what we have to put up with every day. So if there's money, Lord Dauphin uses it. How about approaching the Lower Dauphin School Board for some supplemental funding, since they have that much traffic there between the kids up and down Division Street, the buses up and down Quarry Road. Further, since you put that, not you, since the township, I mean Hershey Estates, put that circle in out there at the west end, the cars coming up to the traffic light going westbound on 322. People, and I've talked to many, they don't want to travel halfway to Middletown to go around a circle and get back over to Hanover Street. So they come right, they make a left. Division Street is now a thoroughfare for traffic going over to Hanover Street. End of comments on this part.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Buck. Thank you. And we can bring you back up after we open it back up after the conversation about waste management. Is there anyone else that would like to place comments on the record for other items on the agenda other than D? Okay, seeing none, we will start with our first order of business, which is the consent calendar, and everyone that's picked up an agenda at the back of the room can see what is on our consent calendar. The board can tackle all of these as one. If the meeting minutes from our last meeting, some reduction of financial security and our accounts payable. So is it the will of the board to take them all as a group, or would you like to separate them out?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar items A, B, C, and D.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Zamuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Right. Seconded by Supervisor Wyckoff. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, motion passes unanimously. All right, moving on to our first item under new business, waste management update on collection services. So, Mr. Crispin, if you could kind of tee this up, and then we will hear from our waste management representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the board's aware, we've had some issues regarding waste removal within the township. The administration has been in contact with waste management throughout that process. Anytime there's a delay, they've been very good with notifying us that there would be a delay. We tried to communicate that out as quickly as we could to our residents, but I thought it was important to invite Mr. Isabella here tonight to kind of talk to the issues of what waste management may be having, how it's impacting our community, because we're certainly not alone in this issue. I think all of the major haulers in our area are dealing with similar setbacks in the collection of refuse in different municipalities, but I'm going to defer to Don in a minute to let him explain it. and suggest that if the board has questions, to directly ask those of Don, and then if you want to open up a public comment, that's certainly acceptable.
Hi, Don, if you wouldn't mind coming to the podium and kind of sharing with us what's going on.
Good evening, everybody. Again, my name is Don Isabella. Can you misspell that?
Yes.
I-S-A-B-E-L-L-A. And I am with Waste Management. Unfortunately, I'm alone tonight. None of the other supervisors or managers can make it tonight. So, but I do appreciate the opportunity to come in and address these concerns. Certainly, kind of like Chris alluded to, the concerns are area-wide, not just here in Darius. The whole snow events seem to, you know, set off the whole waste industry here in the whole area. But if you don't mind, if I may, I was just going to kind of do a little brief history of what has taken place in the last several weeks as far as our service goes and the weather and things like that. Okay. So, first of all, I'm going to look back to 2023 when we had zero snow events. We had none. There were no snow or weather delays of any kind at all in 2023. Fortunately, so far this year, in 5 weeks, we've had four. Two of the four were dual events, if you will. The first snow came early in the week, both on a Tuesday, and then the forecast then for later that week was, well, it's going to snow again Friday evening and into Saturday. So, you know, we've got to start making decisions based off of the forecast that we hear early in the week. So the first snow event that we had, it did indeed snow quite a bit that following Friday evening. We made the decision not to run our trucks on Saturday, which was the right decision safety-wise. We did get a significant snow. The second storm that we had, again, following the forecast that we were able to get, we again decided to not run on Saturday. And, you know, as luck would have it, or bad luck would have it, it didn't snow Friday evening. You know, I personally live on the West Shore. Our community is serviced by contract by Penn Waste. I'm a Friday collection customer, and I also went 2 weeks without getting my service and was able to put out double the following week. So the reason why I bring that up is because I understand that most of the issues that we've had here are not just here, but is the Friday collections. Because every time we've delayed so far, we get to Friday, we're supposed to pick up Saturday, we don't run again because of the weather. So it's the Friday customers who really have kind of taken the brunt of this. And like I said, I'm living it myself in the community that I live in. I'm a Friday collection, and I'm doing the same thing. So the decisions and how they're made to run or not run really are solely up to our district manager. And, you know, his final, you know, decision, it, or he makes the final decision on whether we run trucks or not. And, you know, his ultimate responsibility, he has 92 employees there at our Camp Hill operation, which is where we've come out of the service dairy. And he has 92 employees there that he needs to be first and foremost concerned with their safety. And not all of them are local. They all just don't live around here. We have some employees that drive 60 plus miles to get into work. So the second storm that we had, this, you know, trying to make the call what to do on that Saturday, being that it was forecasted to be a snow, he's looking at it and thinking, okay, I've got 92 employees that need to have a decision so that they can plan their lives around what am I doing on Saturday? Am I driving in, you know, 60 plus miles into work? Am I not coming in? So he made a commitment to the employees to be fair to them and say, by noon on Friday, I'm going to make a decision whether we're going to run Saturday or not. And at that point in time, the forecast was still calling for additional snow Saturday night. So again, being safety being the utmost concern for his employees and all of our employees, he made the decision not to run on Saturday. So that's kind of the history behind what happened and how and why we made the decision. Some other factors that go into it that you don't see right up front. We see the weather, but some of the other factors that you don't see is that, you know, our drivers are regulated by DOT. Federal DOT. They can only be behind the wheel so many hours a week. So if we decide to bring them in, and they come in and we send them out on the road, the weather gets bad and we have to call them back in, and now they've spent whatever 4 or 5 hours out on the road not being able to serve as many customers, that's still time that they have ticked off on their DOT hours. They can't get those back. So when they're out of hours, we're out of hours. We can't, you know, we can't run them. The other factor is that on Saturdays in particular, all of the disposal sites, and here in Dauphin County, we only have one option, and that's to go to the incinerator, but all disposal sites run on a shorter schedule on Saturdays. They close early. When we get weather events, sometimes they close even earlier. The other thing that we check in on is it's a PA-511. PA-511, these last two storms, called for a ban for empty commercial trucks on the highways. And I know I'm kind of getting into the weeds with this, but it's important to understand that. So for the incinerator in Harrisburg, you know, their trucks come in, they have waste coming in, those trucks dump, and those trucks leave empty. Well, when the state says, no, you can't have an empty trailer on the highway, those trucks can't come in. So that's why they'll close even earlier. So we could run a full route on Saturday here in Derry or any other community in Dauphin County. But if the disposal site is closed, what are we going to do with the trash? And some of our routes run, they what we call pack out. They fill their truck, they dump, and come back. So in the case when the incinerator closes early, they may be able to get one load done, but they can't get a second load done. And we're not allowed to let those trucks sit for more than 24 hours with trash in them. So there's a Saturday they would have to sit to a Monday. So again, it's more than just the weather. There's other factors, you know, there's other factors involved. Again, Chris, you made the comment, and I appreciate that, you know, we did our best to try to communicate as quickly with the township on what our plans were. And part of that communication is a normal process that we have where we can send out phone and email blasts to our customers, and we did that. Unfortunately, the email blast said that we weren't coming back until March 2nd. No way to, you know, to sugarcoat that. That was a human error. They put the wrong date on the notification. Going forward, those notifications will not go out without other management seeing it before it goes out. It was a human error. There's just, like I say, no other way to explain that. Some of the other things we're going to try to do, and it's tough to make that call until you see what the circumstances are, since it's always the Friday customers that seem to take the brunt of the service interruptions. What we may try to do is, instead of running on, quote, a holiday schedule where every day is one day behind, maybe if it snows on Wednesday and we pull the trucks off the road on Wednesday, we're still going to run Thursday on regular route, Friday on regular route, and then we'll come back Saturday to get Wednesday. Try to alleviate some of the, you know, heartache that the Friday customers are experiencing. So, like I said, that's the scenario. That's what we were, you know, the hand that we were dealt, and that we had to make some decisions based off of trying to give our customer service the best we could and keeping the employee safety first in mind. Open for questions.
Thank you for coming in and explaining all of the issues that went into the decisions. I think a lot of our residents were more confused and upset because of the communications that went out. We had originally gotten a communication that we were delayed, and then the communications really when we received the one that said it would be 2 weeks before trash, that's when I think all of us started getting comments, and Chris took the brunt of a lot of those residents. And residents are obviously very sensitive. Bills are high. You know, residents are paying a lot more than they did 4 or 5 years ago. And that specific area in Derry Township missed 2 pickups. So they missed one pickup in January, and then they missed a pickup in February. So they were understandably upset. So I appreciate that you came in and explained all of the factors that went into why that happened, and it sounds like maybe not delaying might help.
That's going to determine what the forecast is.
Because I know our public works department does a great job of keeping those roads clear. So,
I woke up Saturday morning at 4 a.m. and looked outside, and my street was cleared. But again, my hauler didn't run that day either. So, like I said, I'm on that same Friday issue. So.
Is there any board members that have questions or comments?
Yes, I actually have a couple of questions for you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming, Mr. Resnick.
Well,
it's great to have you out here. You mentioned that PennDOT stopped empty trucks from running on the road. What was the reason for that at that time?
I can only assume what the reasons were, and they were anticipating wintry road conditions, and an empty trailers are not, you know, ideal for wintry, windy road conditions.
I was just going to say, when PennDOT puts the kibosh on empty trucks, mm-hmm. it's usually because of wind conditions. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, tomorrow is supposed to be a very, very windy day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you foresee PennDOT stopping the trucks again from leaving the depot?
I can only speak from my experience with that, and I've only ever seen it for snow events.
Okay, so
yep.
Generally in the winter time.
They may have done it for wind events. I've only seen it.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
I don't know either. But again, that's a tool that we kind of have to rely on when we try to make our decisions.
Sure. One more question. When you were getting phone calls, we were getting phone calls about mm-hmm. the lack of trash pickup in Pershing area. Were the issues confined to a specific area of town?
Mostly Friday collection rooms. Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, I live in the village, and we didn't have any issues.
What's your regular collection? I don't know.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right, and I didn't hear from anybody, so I assumed it was from the surrounding communities. All right, thank you very much.
Okay. Anybody else?
Anybody else? I'm going to get, do you mind holding your public comment until we open it back up?
It's really questions for him.
Would you mind just, maybe we can get you guys together at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Would that be okay?
That's fine.
And then if you want to put the comments on the record when we open it back up, you're more than welcome to put them on the record as well.
Okay.
So if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Isabella, talking to Mr. Buck and
sure.
the right person to ask the questions, and then we'll get to you and putting your comments on the record. So thank you for sharing the information. Hopefully there's your understanding. And collections will go smoothly for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to our next agenda item. It's the consideration of decision for conditional use application number 2023-03 as filed by Mary Driscoll, amending the previously approved conditional use application number 2022-04 regarding the property located at 981 Bullfrog Valley Road. So I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Nelson to get us started on this agenda item.
So the board held a hearing on this particular application on January 23rd, 2024. They've deliberated, and now I've been asked to issue a proposed decision that the board will vote on at once I'm done giving a brief explanation. I've been asked to just explain, in case there's people here on this matter, where this whole road, everything arose from. So the applicant in this matter originally applied 2 years ago for a conditional use approval to establish this particular facility in the location where it's at. She had to go through the conditional use approval because it was not a permitted use at that location. She had to go through the conditional use approval to receive that permission. The board granted that permission 2 years ago, and at that time assigned numerous conditions to that grant to try to ensure that the impact of this particular use would not be too great upon the neighbors. Those conditions were all based on and came from testimony by the applicant. The conditions were not something that the board came up on their own, were not something we just thought was a good idea, but literally the conditions were, especially as to the number of people to occupy the site, what activities were going to take place on the site, and the hours of operation were literally based on her testimony, the applicant's testimony. move forward 2 years. The applicant has received land development approval. She is moving forward with the construction of this building and facility. She then came to the board asking that two of these conditions she wanted amended or changed. She then, since this was originally a conditional use, she had to ask for a new conditional use for the amendment of these two conditions. That's what the hearing in January was on, and that's what this decision deals with. I'm going to announce the decision. I'm going to announce how these conditions are amended, but I'm not going to read the whole thing because it is quite long. At the end of my reading, I'm going to ask the board whether or not for a vote on this particular decision, and then we'll move forward. Does that work for the board?
Sounds great.
Yes, okay. So the proposed order is that the applicant is hereby granted conditional use approval for limited amendments to conditions F and K of the original decision as specifically provided below, subject to and conditional on applicant satisfying and complying with the following additional and supplemental conditions and requirements together with the conditions of the original decision, each of which the board deems a necessary and essential component of this approval. I'm not going to read all these additional conditions. The supplemental conditions, they are conditions A through V. So there's over 20 of them, so I'm not going to read through them all. However, I am going to state what the two appealed conditions or requested amending conditions have been amended to. The first, condition F, has been amended to read as follows: the hours of operation for the proposed use shall be limited to 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 12 p.m. through 6 p.m. on Sunday. Condition K has been amended to read: the proposed use shall be limited to one-on-one training, small group training not to exceed a one trainer instructor to six clients ratio, ACL recovery programs, physical therapy, a return to play after injury program, sports psychology and nutritionist, a sports metric injury prevention program, and space rental for small group instructional clinics. The total number of patrons, occupants, and or participants at the property at one time shall never exceed 64. No other activities events and or uses shall be permitted as part of the proposed use on the property. Those are the two amended conditions. There are then additional conditions C through B as in Victor that are also attached to this approval. As I said, we need a motion and a second for a vote on this proposed decision.
Okay, is there any questions or comments before we get to business enough? Yes, please do. Supervisors.
I'll make the motion to approve application, conditional use application 2023-03 as written and vocalized by our council.
Okay, Supervisor Zamuda has offered a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I'll second.
Okay, seconded by Supervisor Carano. Is there any additional questions or comments? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Hearing no opposition, the motion passes unanimously. Okay, moving on to the next order of business. We are looking at the consideration of adoption of ordinance number 2024-01, amending chapter 2025 zoning of the Code of Ordinances of Derry Township by revising the definition of outpatient medical treatment facility and adding new definitions for massage therapy, physical, occupational, or speech-language therapy facility, and further adding physical, occupational, or speech-language therapy facility as a use permitted by right in the general commercial, Plan Campus West, Medical Campus Central, and commercial recreation zoning districts. So Mr. Emmerich, if you would mind giving a background.
Sure. This matter was discussed at a public hearing earlier this evening. The ordinance has been properly advertised for adoption. At their meeting on February 6, 2024, the Derry Township Planning Commission recommended that the text amendments be adopted as currently written. And also at their meeting on February 5, 2024, the Dauphin County Planning Commission took action to support the text amendments as currently written. I'm recommending that ordinance number 2024-01 be adopted as written.
Mr. Emmerich, is there any questions or comments of Mr. Emmerich about this text amendment? Okay. Hearing none, I will offer a motion that ordinance number 2024-04 is hereby adopted as written. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, seconded by Supervisor Zamuda. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. That takes us to D. As I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, we are going to listen to the sketch plan for 1245 Cocoa Avenue, Plat 1383. The supervisors will ask questions or offer comments, and then at that point, we are going to open up for another opportunity for the public to offer comment on the record. So with that, I would like to open up the discussion of sketch plan 1245. I'm assuming there's folks here in the audience that are here to present us this plan this evening. And if they wouldn't mind coming forward and introducing themselves, and we'll get into it. So welcome.
Thank you. Kevin Number from MITU. We're the site engineer for the project. Also here tonight is Jason Mitchell, who represents the property owner, Charlotte Courtney, who's the owner's counsel, and also Drake Lanker from TPD, who's the traffic engineer.
And did you say your name is Kevin?
Yes.
Kevin, okay. If you wouldn't mind spelling your name just for our stenographer so we have it accurate in the minutes, that would be great.
Sure. Last name is Ember, E-M-B-E-R, and I'm with MITU. That's R-E-T-T-E-W.
You said you were the engineer.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We will give you the floor to start the presentation.
All right. Thank you. And just as background for anyone who may be in the audience and isn't familiar with the process, so we're here tonight to present the sketch plan, which is kind of the initial township feedback on the potential project at this location. Assuming this would go forward, there'd be several steps that we would have to go through the township and other agencies. That would be including a conditional use plan, land development plan with the township, and then also dealing with any and all required permits with DEP, PennDOT, and also FEMA in this case. So I just want to give that background. So we're here really to get the initial input from the board and hear any comments from residents. So I believe most people are probably familiar with the site here. What we're proposing is that the northeast corner of the intersection of Cocoa Avenue and Fishburne Road, which are both PennDOT roads, just to orient you, in this case, north is plan left on this plan. So the top of the plan is east. Just off the property to the east is an unnamed tributary to Spring Creek, which crosses under a culvert under Fishburne Road as you travel south on the plan. And what we're proposing here is a 5,585 square foot convenience store. In this case, it is a proposed Wawa brand convenience store. We're proposing 8 dual fuel pumps, which you can see out front of the store, so 16 total pumps. Because of that, the plan would qualify as a major fuel service, which requires a conditional use approval within the township and the township zoning ordinance. the project is located in the Hershey Mixed Use and Southern Core Overlay Zoning Districts. So there also may be some required zoning relief on a few items that kind of are attached to the conditional use. So just to give a brief outline of the design here, we are proposing to relocate the existing access on Fishburne Road a bit further west, and that would allow that to be changed to a right-in, right-out only, whereas right now the existing plan is a little bit closer to the existing culvert east on Fishburne Road, and both existing driveways are currently full movement in and out. So we're proposing to change that to a right-in, right-out along Fishburne Road, and then also keep the same location of the driveway on Cocoa Avenue as full movement. Now, as we progress through the conditional use plan, this would have to be approved by both the township and PennDOT from a traffic standpoint. Given this use as a convenience store, most of the anticipated traffic is proposed to be pass-by traffic, so that means traffic that's mostly already going to be driving along these roads, so it's not generating a whole lot of new traffic using the traffic Institute of Traffic Engineers standard methodology. It's about looking at a potential 6% increase, and we can certainly address any other specific traffic questions by TPD, who's a little more versed in the traffic language than myself. And as mentioned, there's a couple comments, letters we have received at this point from the authority, township staff, and HRG with some comments that we would continue to take into consideration as we go through the conditional use township process. If there's any specific comments in those letters that the board would like to discuss tonight, we're certainly open to that, but otherwise just looking for general comment or concern on the plan tonight.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ember. Just so that everyone here is aware, this is not something that the board is voting on. This is the first time the board has seen this plan is this evening. So this is our first opportunity to look at this. There's no action being taken on this. We're just here to listen to this. We're just here to ask questions and then hear from the public that's here that would also like to put comments on the record. So before I start with our questions, Mr. Emmerich, do you have additional information that you'd like to add before we start?
Sure, I'd like to point out a couple of things. Kevin already mentioned that they may need zoning relief, and I think he's referring to under the conditional use requirements for a major fuel station, it notes that all pump areas, including canopies and any other accessory structure, shall only be located between the front facade of any principal structure on the lot and the rear setback line. On corner lots, the pump areas, including canopies and any other accessory structures, shall not extend closer to the secondary frontage than the face of the associated principal structure. And as you can see by the present sketch, the canopy is closer to the road in both cases. Another condition is that canopies serving more than 8 vehicles must provide a visual break in canopy size and projection to avoid overly simplified, unarticulated, or commercial look of longer canopies. I believe in Wawa's present prototype, they, cantilever, they put in a shed-type roof. And I also believe that the board determined under the Governor Crossing hearing that that was not articulating the canopy to prevent the, or to defer from, to prevent the look of the long canopy. So I point those two things out. Kevin mentioned that there is there's a floodplain here. This area of the township is presently covered by an approximated floodplain area, a zone A, which shows the entire site within the floodplain. The blue lines that you see on the screen above indicate what Ritu has determined to be the floodplain from a more detailed study. In doing so, one of the more pertinent comments that I have is they have the proposed fuel tanks directly on the edge of the floodplain. And one of the general comments I made was a little bit more separation would be appreciated. But they have not yet provided the information for the revised floodplain to us for review. Of course, this being a sketch plan. I think that highlights most of my more important comments.
Thank you, Mr. Emmerich.
Well, I'm sorry, I did need a little more. Also, under, you know, so they're talking about this southern driveway being a right-in, right-out driveway. Under PennDOT's present design standards, a limited-use driveway like that would require a median to prevent unlawful left turns into the property, as we're all aware from another recent project. So I'd like them to analyze and explain to the board the impacts that that may have on adjacent or opposite driveways on the opposite side of the street, especially that of 1120 Fishburne Road.
Thank you. Okay, I know that there's many of us, including myself, that have questions. So I'll ask a couple questions and I'll open up to the rest of the supervisors and we'll go from there. So if you need to ask your colleagues to come up and answer the question, you're welcome to do that. When you come up, if you wouldn't mind just making sure that our stenographer has your name so that we have the minutes presented accurately. So I'm not an engineer, but looking at this plan with gas pumps underground this close to a floodplain, that doesn't seem to make any sense. It's concerning. So from a public safety standpoint, how is that safe to have underground gas tanks that close to a stream and a floodplain?
Well, as Mr. Eckert mentioned, you know, that was a comment that was offered by staff. So we can, and what we presented here is also dealing a lot with what WAVA corporate standards are. So as we go through the zoning conditional use process, there's some other items, including that, which we would plan to discuss with WAVA some alternatives to create some more separation from the floodplain. As part of the process moving forward with plan development, we'd also need to do some testing on the site, such as stormwater infiltration testing. So I would imagine where those pumps would go, or the underground fuel tanks, excuse me, we could do some testing there to determine what the base groundwater level is, if we anticipate that to be an issue, and could revise that location based on those results as well.
But in addition to that, I think that we have some requirements in regards to sensitive areas. So that stream would also be a sensitive area. And it seems really close to the stream that's right behind what you're proposing.
Yeah, I believe the sensitive area setback is specific to the site features. So right now it's the dashed line that kind of follows that solid blue line. If you go a little bit further down, you can see that sensitive area setback. So right now it's essentially following our proposed curb. We would most likely be proposing to relocate that a little further to the west to get out of that sensitive area setback for any proposed features. Also with the driveway to the south, based on where that's located currently versus we're proposing that, we're moving that more outside that sensitive area setback, so getting more in compliance with the ordinance in that situation.
Okay. This board also spent about a year talking about the traffic on 743. And we heard when we were talking about that issue that it's just passed by traffic. It's just passed by traffic. Anyone who lives around here knows how bad the traffic is in that area of the township. In the morning, in the evening, when the hospital is letting out, there's a lot of traffic there. And having those additional entrances and exits in that very busy intersection doesn't seem to make the traffic any better. And I know you don't have a traffic study yet because you're not to that point in the process. But I have a hard time believing that this is just passed by traffic that would be coming into here. I mean, I guess there's really nothing I can say until there's a traffic study, and we don't have one to look at yet, but I am concerned about the traffic, and I think that that's something that we all have talked about for over a year, and this exit just right up the road from here is the massive amount of traffic.
Right, and we would obviously be preparing that detailed traffic study going forward, and knowing that obviously this use would be more intensive than the previous bank was, but I would say kind of any redevelopment of this site is probably going to have, you know, concerns with traffic at this property. So we would certainly need to be complying with all the township and PennDOT standards going ahead and getting input on that.
And none of those entrances seem to come out at the light that's there. So they'd be coming out on Coco and coming out on 743, and there's also a light right there. I mean, it just seems like it will be a complete mess.
Maybe I could let TBD answer that more in detail, but you know, typically what we were trying to do here is get the in and out access on Coco Avenue in its current location, which is kind of as far away from the light as we can to allow that stacking distance. And then with the right in, right out, it alleviates that left turn movement trying to get in on Fishburne. As Chuck mentioned, we would probably have to look at some sort of center median there to provide that physical barrier. But do you want to speak a little about that?
Did you say center median?
Yeah, or some sort of concrete barrier along Fishburne to prevent someone from, you know, going in that right turn only by making a left.
That's concerning too, because there are homes that are along there, which leads me to my next question. Are there going to be turn lanes that are associated with this project that would infringe on the property owners that are along Fishburne Road?
Yeah, Drake Linker with Traffic Planning Design, last name L-E-N-K-E-R. So as Kevin mentioned, at this point, we have not...
Can you come up to the mic, please?
At this time, we have not completed a full traffic impact study, so we're here just to hear your concerns, and as far as the turn lane warrant analysis, that has not been completed at this time. With the significant amount of pass-by trips, it's hard to say whether turn lane would be warranted at this time.
Well, I can tell you, I think one of our big concerns is the homeowners that are along there and the restrictions that they might have by your building this gas station there and them getting in and out of their property, and especially if there's a barrier in between the road, they would have restricted access to get into their properties.
Absolutely, and from my understanding of the site plan, there isn't a current median on 743 as now.
No.
To your knowledge. So the only concrete median, I believe, Kevin was speaking of, is to further prohibit left turning movements, which would be heading southbound to enter that right and right driveway.
And what happens to that house that's right across the street?
And that would also be further analyzed with the full transportation impact study, and we would have Eric Stump and HRD's staff's comments with that, as well as comments.
So there could be turn lanes that need to be added, which would mean widening?
That is correct. It is a possibility, but at this time I do not have that for you.
I've got other questions, but I don't want to hog the microphone. So Supervisor Zabuda, Supervisor Corrado, Supervisor Wyckoff, do you have questions that you'd like to ask?
Go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. But
go ahead. Do you want to go last? Do you want to go?
I want to go last.
Okay.
But I do have a couple of questions that might be better.
Okay. Do you want to go now, or we'll ask Supervisor Corrado if he's got any?
Well, I'm just going to ask the two questions I have. You guys are going to sell it all.
What was that?
You're going to sell alcohol and beer here.
I would have to defer that to...
And I think all of the law was too, so...
Okay.
My name is Jason Mitchell. I'm with the developer, JC Motor Properties. That hasn't been finalized yet. I mean, they have the right to apply for it.
Sure.
But they have made the decision yet.
And the other question is, you guys are, you're aware that there was a similar type of development for the opposite end of Cocoa Avenue, about half a mile away? Chuck? How far was that with Cocoa?
You talking about Cocoa Inn?
Yeah. And that plan was abandoned because of the issues I'm going to bring up later on.
How much does that plan
work? I don't know. You guys will probably be aware of that.
That was probably 15 or more years ago.
Yeah, I just wanted to make you aware of that. This area has been looked at for just such a service station.
Anything else?
No, I'll get to my comments later.
Supervisor Corrado, do you have anything to add or ask?
Not at this time. No, the questions that I was going to ask were already asked.
Okay. Supervisor.
I'll have my time to work with this manager.
Go ahead.
I think I am good for the moment. I've got a lot of concerns, but it doesn't seem like you were at a point in your process that you can really give us the answers that I would be looking for in regards to the homes that are along there, the traffic issues, that's huge, and the floodplain. I can't wrap my head around having a gas station in a floodplain and so close to the creek. So you've got two environmental issues that are right there. So is this a normal practice where a gas station makes this work in a floodplain and right next to a sensitive environmental area? I mean, I can't imagine this isn't the ideal place to put a gas station.
I can't speak to being a normal practice. I'll say it is something we go through a lot here with the FEMA floodplain. That's in a zone A that is not within a defined study. So that's where we go through and try to see, based on the actual conditions, where that actual floodplain limit really should be. So that's something that we would have to submit that flood study report going forward for HRG, to review for the township engineer. And we'll also have to go through a FEMA map revision process, you know, assuming the plan would go forward.
And I do have one more question for Mr. Emmerich. Mr. Emmerich, with a gas station here in this zoning district, how many pumps are allowed to be here?
So in this zoning district, we allow both minor and major fuel service stations. The dividing line between the two is 8 pumps or fewer is a minor, and more than 8 pumps is a major. So this would be a permitted use under conditional use. Something, not quite a full permitted use, but conditional use, it would be permitted here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Zaluda, if you would like to put your comments on the record.
I can count on my hands, on one hand, the number of times that something like this has given me this much thought. I'm aware of 3 different locations that Wawa is playing in the township. This, by far, is, in my opinion, the worst spot to put it. And I have a prepared statement, I'll agree. Then I don't have any more questions. Given the potential impacts of this project to the surrounding area and its populace, there are some recommended ideal characteristics that an activity such as this should exhibit, according to the Community of Environmental Defense Services. An activity like this that's being proposed should be at least 500 feet from the nearest dwelling. I understand that our ordinance only requires 200 feet. The potential effects of air pollution from gas station emissions are real. Substances such as benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, xylene, and idling auto emissions are difficult to control and are ubiquitous in these circumstances. Additionally, the release of this cocktail of hazardous materials would, in part, settle onto the parking lot and wash over any impervious surface and into the nearby stream bed, with each rain and in turn contaminate nearby groundwater and eventually find its way to local streams, creeks, and rivers. Another idea to build a place like this, to preserve the public health, a minimum of 500 feet from homes and 1,000 feet, about the height of the Empire State Building, from schools should be observed. This service station will be less than a half a mile, 2,600 feet, from Milton Hershey School and nearly as close to the Hershey School District campus. Multiple studies have shown relationships between an individual's health and their proximity to these types of stations. For example, benzene is a gasoline constituent most harmful to human health. Adverse health effects of benzene include nausea, cancer, anemia, increased susceptibility to infections, and low birth weight. According to the World Health Organization guidelines for indoor air quality, there is no safe level for benzene. Stage 1 and 2 vapor recovery systems, which I'm sure you guys will be using, are not effective in controlling these gases released from loading fuel. We would recommend an enhanced vapor recovery measure be utilized. Idling engines, particularly those with large diesel trucks, emit a large quantity of particulates into the local atmosphere. These particulates can pose a significant health risk for those living near convenience stores of this type. And that's from the Journal of Health Science and Engineering. The station should be buffered so the store cannot be seen or heard from the nearest home. This station will be located less than 200 feet from the existing housing development of Cambridge Commons and two other domiciles that Chairman Nutt mentioned. There's also a house of worship just up the road from there. Regardless of separation of a street in accordance with our ordinance 225.501.19G, there will still be noise and light trespass on the nearby housing development in addition to the added pollution and stormwater runoff in the area. Crime. It should be noted that according to FBI statistics, convenience store robberies account for up to 6% of all robberies in the nation, and convenience store employees suffer from high rates of homicide. Additionally, it is known that the proximity to a school campus increases the likelihood that the students that attend are more likely to be offered alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, as well as being exposed to drug selling and people using drugs. That's for prevention science. A National Association of Convenience Stores report from the Community and Environmental Defense Services noted that, in addition to numerous steps that were most effective in reducing convenience store crime, one in particular stands out: locating a store where there are few escape routes. Therefore, no nearby ways. Finally, given the previous discussion concerning the traffic by this time generated by this enterprise, in addition to the deleterious effects on the surrounding populace, right now I cannot consider this as a viable land use for this. That's what I got. I'm going to make a little comment when we're done with this to the crew.
Did everybody get their questions or comments? Everybody's good. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ember, for being here, for presenting it. Was there someone else from your group that wanted to offer a comment?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. You want to offer your comment, and then we're gonna.
Yeah. No. Okay. I'll be quick. This is just kind of reorient. So we came through feedback and.
Got it.
We got a lot of bloody feedback. We appreciate the feedback. I mean, this is all part of. The last thing we want to do is just submit an application. So I appreciate the feedback, even negative feedback.
Well, let me preface it. I'm a fan of Marlboro.
Understood.
I'm looking
understood.
Forward to
it. Understood.
That is,
well, who's
to
not?
Me, that is not the spot.
Yeah, understood. So our goal here, right, so we look at, you look at this site, right, it's a former bank site. It's already developed. There's an existing building on there. There's already two existing access points. So when we look at this, right, there are two opportunities, right? One opportunity is to reuse what's there, and another opportunity is to redevelop it, right? And there are, within that redevelopment option, there are, maybe a variety of uses. So when we approach this, kind of why we came here, other than to get your feedback, is that as we move forward, what we want to do with this site, was developed years ago, and our goal with this site is to, with any redevelopment, to have that redevelopment make the project better. Better from an access standpoint. The reality is, with the two existing full movement accesses there, it's not going to be full movement, right? We all know that. And it probably shouldn't be full movement. And whatever is done from an access management standpoint is going to be an improvement. From a lighting impact standpoint, right? The lights that are there, you can probably do much better today under lighting standards. From an environmental impact standpoint, in terms of the existing stormwater management that's on the site, and improving that, even with a convenience store that has underground storage tanks. Our goal here is to end up with a new development that is better than existing conditions. That is an improvement over what's there. From not just from an aesthetic standpoint, from an environmental standpoint, from a traffic standpoint. So these are the constraints. We appreciate your feedback. We'll go back and we'll look at it, but that's why we came here. But I think we all have to recognize it is an existing building. So it's a question of what's going to go there. Is it just going to be a reoccupancy, or is it going to be something a little bit better? That's what we're trying to work on.
We will open up a public comment period so that those that are here to offer comments about this plan, put their comments on the record, or Mr. Beck, if you wanted to come back up and offer your comments about waste management at this point, you're welcome to do that. If there's anyone else that is here that would like to offer comment, you're welcome to do it at this time. So, Mr. Beck.
Okay, Barry Buck again. With waste management, he answered a couple of the questions I had, and that was with the emails. We had an email saying that this one's going to be postponed until a Saturday pickup, which it is. It's a Friday pickup to begin with. It's going to be next week. Then I get one for March the 2nd. So which is it going to be? My situation is I have a long driveway, 200 feet, and it's downhill slope. So if I take them down full, then I got to trudge 200 feet back up, wait for the next one. I'm 77 years old. I don't need that kind of exercise. So I get these conflicting ones. The township sent out one that said it's going to be picked up on the 23rd. So on the 22nd, I call waste management. Yep, we're gonna pick it up. I'm sorry, on today's the 27th, the 23rd. So I call on the 22nd, got waste management, took them an hour. Long time on the phone. They said, yep, we're gonna pick you up. Didn't pick it up on the 23rd. So I called them yesterday morning. Wasn't picked up. I wanted picked up today. Another hour on the phone. They actually had to call me back because I had an appointment. They called me back and said, yes, sir, we're going to be out this afternoon to pick it up. My trash is still sitting at the end of my driveway as I came down here to this meeting tonight. So it looks like March the 2nd was the real one. And this isn't the first time. This is the third time this, I can't say this year, this January till January, that this happened. Now, to make matters worse, there's houses in front of me, there's houses in the back of me. Theirs was picked up. Mine's left sitting. If you go to 220 Quarry Road, theirs is still sitting from last week. Why? When I called in waste management, I pushed the button that says, check on your pickup. Your trash was picked up at 120 or 112 or 113 on the 23rd. It's still sitting there. To me, these are inexcusable. I understand they're coming up for renewal of their contract. I would encourage the township to put a penalty clause in there that if these kinds of things happen, they either reimburse the customers for having to do all this, or some penalty to the township. End of comments.
I can appreciate your frustration. Yes, you have had it worse than the rest of us that are on Friday pickup.
Yeah, for sure. If this were a one item, that's one thing. I understand it had snow, it had this. Yeah. It's happened in clear weather. They pick up on either side of me, mindset. They got to go by mine both ways.
Yeah. Hopefully we can match the two of you up and get this issue rectified. So thank you for your comment, for being here, and for listening to you.
And thank you for letting me know this was going on today.
Is there anyone that is here that would like to put public comment on the record in regards to the sketch plan? Anybody here wants to offer their public comment? Okay.
Yes, I was
helpful. Seeing, well, you're a resident.
No, I actually do have a comment for my colleagues.
Okay, then why don't you offer your comments and then we will move on
right,
to the next.
Exactly,
okay, go ahead.
Exactly. I'd like to ask my colleagues to consider discussing and eventually advancing modification to our zoning that increases the setback for uses such as this to reflect the latest research in air and water pollution, in addition to the health hazards they may pose to our residents. A setback of at least 300 to 500 feet from wells, springs, streams, reservoirs, or other sensitive ground or in surface water resources should be codified to protect our local dwindling resources. I would also encourage increasing this setback to include dwellings, schools, and medical establishments. Additionally, I would encourage my colleagues to consider an additional modification of our zoning to include requiring enhanced vapor recovery measures for future and refurbished convenience and fuel locations to further limit the discharge of the volatile gases previously discussed. That is all. Thank you for hearing me and not laughing me down. Appreciate it.
Add it to the agenda. Okay. All right, moving on to our next order of business, which is E, and that is the consideration of a proposal for a wall mural at 46 Outlet Square. And since I don't see Mr. Habig here, Mr. Emmerich, are you taking up this issue?
Yes, David was took on this agenda item while I was in Arizona, so I'm appreciating that. One moment, please. Milton Hershey School in partnership with Tanger Outlets is requesting approval for the installation of a 46.6-foot wide and 17.8-foot high mural on the exterior wall of the Michael Kors store facing Starbucks. And let me just show you what the mural looks like. The proposed mural will be applied directly on a banner material on a springboard to be mounted on the exterior face of the wall. The mural will be illuminated at night by an overhead Houston fixture. The zoning ordinance does contain a provision for the authorization of murals and street art to enable an orderly method for review and processing of such displays. Section 25.428 allows murals and street art within all zoning districts of the township and requires authorization from the Board of Supervisors. A mural is defined as the application of paint, acrylic, or other materials directly onto or on a changeable panel attached to the exterior surface of a building wall or other structure, excluding signs and roofs, whose sole purpose is to create an aesthetic design to commemorate or depict a scene or event of natural, social, cultural, or historic significance, and including historical, commercial messages and or logos, and not including commercial messages and or logos related to activities occurring on the premises. The name of the artist sponsoring year of installation completed is permitted, but shall not exceed 3 square feet. In this case, the mural that's shown, staff is recommending approval. because we do believe that it highlights the social, cultural, and historic significance of the Glenn Hershey School and of Glenn Hershey himself. I'd point out the QR code in the corner of the mural rack is the name of the sponsor and is limited to 3 square feet. There are representatives here this evening if you have any questions. Thank you for allowing me to present.
Okay, thank you, Chuck, for showing us the mural. I'm just curious, how did this come about? Was this just something, I guess, something for the folks that are waiting in line at Starbucks to look at? You got it. Thank you. So I'm Rachel Lindsley, L-I-N-D-S-L-E-Y, marketing coordinator at Milton Hershey School, and
And I am Megan White, W-H-I-T-E, and I'm the general manager at Tanger.
So we started working with Tanger at the beginning of the school year, just some signage, and they are going through a renovation project and had talked to us about wanting to beautify the space for the town of Hershey, welcoming all of the foot traffic that comes in from Hershey Park and people who are shopping at the outlets. And so we talked about how do we commemorate our shared founder of Milton Hershey, but also share the mission of our school. And so what you're seeing here are buildings on our campus, student activities that the kids are involved in, but as well Milton and Catherine Hershey, their signatures, and a quote from Milton Hershey. And the newspaper wrapping you're seeing behind it is actually the gift that he made to the school in perpetuity that was in the New York Times 100 years ago this year. So we're really excited about the opportunity. Thanks for letting us come and share this idea with you. This will really help Megan and her team just be more creative in their space, welcome the people to our town built on chocolate. So thank you.
Great. It looks really nice. My only question or concern is it's so pretty and there's so many people that are going to Starbucks. How are you going to keep the teenagers from using it as an Instagram backdrop? So that's what's going to happen. They're going to use it for a backdrop for Instagram photos coming through Hershey. I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's very pretty. It has everything
on there.
I think
if they want to take a photo of it and post it on social media, we would.
Well, them standing there, like, you know what I mean, in the driveway. Isn't it in the driveway?
So they...
Will they be able to get you without it in the driveway?
This drive-thru, there's like a divider between the drive-thru and the wall.
Yeah, if I may, Chuck, if you can go down to where it shows the drive-through, there is actually a sidewalk portion.
Okay.
So if they wanted to, they could stay there. Because of how big it is, it would be hard to get the whole thing in a frame. But I think we're actually hoping for that interaction, and that's kind of where the QR code comes into play. So that, you know, they are standing there and they are able to access the website and the history of Milton Hershey and of Hershey, the community, with that QR code.
Okay. Well, that's good to know that there's a safe spot for people to stand and do photos.
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a perfect view of the wall. So,
It's that wall.
Yes.
I thought it was, okay, I was confused about where the wall was. I thought it was actually, yeah.
It's still coming out of Star Wars, but still.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, that's all sort of.
Sorry, best I could do.
So you can see it from the drive-thru, but also if you're shopping and you turn back past the Mega Cores, you could actually go up and take a photo with it.
Okay, that's my mistake. I pictured it somewhere else. Is there anybody else that has any other questions?
Chuck, are those bike racks still there?
In that photo, they are. I'll let Megan
answer. Yes, they are. We are looking at relocating them. We also have additional bike racks that are going in with our renovation project.
Okay. Excellent. Yes, I actually do have a couple of questions and maybe a suggestion. The QR code. Let's see. It's only about the sponsors, right? It only denotes the sponsors. Chuck, could they put something up there that would give them, that would give folks the story? Milton Hershey, a QR code that would give them the story.
Yeah, so if you scan the QR code, it goes to our website to a page
talks about. What Chuck said, it just denotes the sponsors. It just tells you who the sponsors are. That's all I heard.
Sure. So when you scan the QR code, you can't do it on this because it's printed,
right.
But when it is on the wall, you'll be able to scan it. It'll take you to a landing page on their website that talks about Mills and Hershey, the gift to the school, our mission, and how thousands of kids are impacted.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I love this. And I will say,
in my vetting of any mural in the township, I am extremely cautious about them becoming signs.
I know. That's what I was trying to get at. I didn't want it to be an advertisement. But.
And they've made a few modifications to this at my request, and I think it's better for it, actually. Originally, they had Milton Hershey School as a name, as letters on here, and I suggested going to one of their school signs, because that way it's more of an image than an advertisement.
Right. Great idea. If you were, so. I put the QR code lower, though. I put it at the bottom.
We talked about that, too.
Just because when you're driving, and when you're taking the photo, up in the corner is actually more visible when you see it on the wall.
Okay, well, you're the experts. I'll leave it up to you. The main question I have, germane question I have is care. Mm-hmm. Because this location is getting hit by the sun pretty much all day long. I assume you're going to use fade-proof paints, but what happens in 10 years? Because they don't last forever.
So
who's going to be upkeeping this? Is this 10 years?
We will.
Okay, you're going to do this?
Yeah. So we actually, this is going to be printed on a banner material. It'll be outdoor. And so it'll be on a springboard, and we plan to reprint it every year so that the quality remains.
And that was going to be my other question. It's not paint directly onto the...
Correct. It's not paint. Mm-hmm.
It also is washable, that should something happen other than like a spray paint or a permanent type of mark, we will be able to maintain it and keep it looking nice for that entire year.
That's very interesting. I never... Okay. Okay, so it's going to be on a board, on a wall. Is the board going to be secured there?
Yep.
Not just by 4 points, but by a couple more points too.
Absolutely.
You can't pull it off. The storm's not going to take it off. A hurricane's not going to rip it off.
Right. We're working with a vendor who has done this on several different locations throughout Hershey. So we feel confident about it. So.
And I'll add to that that we will be issuing a building permit for this, so we'll need sealed drawings showing that it's not going to blow off the wall.
Oh, excellent. Just answered all my questions. Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments from the board? Sorry, Mike, did you have something? I will offer a motion that authorization is granted for the wall mural at Tanger Outlets as proposed by Milton Hershey School in partnership with Tanger Outlets. Conditional upon the applicants obtaining building permits for the mounting of the springboard on the exterior face of the subject wall and the overhead gooseneck fixture. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, seconded by Supervisor Corrado. Any additional comments or concerns? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you. Congratulations, guys.
Good job.
All right, moving on to our next order of business. It's the acceptance of the financial security for the stormwater management plan for 272 Elm Avenue, S-2023-024. So, Mr. Emery, we are back to you.
Thank you. This stormwater management facilities are to support, in addition to a dwelling, a concrete wall, and a permeable driveway, 272 Elm Avenue. The applicants and property owners are Nicholas and Kelly Stierer. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $13,427 is to be provided. The applicants have provided the security in the form of cash and have entered the township standard agreement to provide financial security and guarantee the completion of the improvements. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accepts the cash financial security in the amount of $13,427 and enters into the agreement.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Is there any questions for Mr. Emmerich on this item? All right, hearing none, is there a motion to accept the security?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts the cash financial security in the amount of $13,427 and enters into an agreement to provide financial security between Nicholas and Kelly Steyer, and the Township for Stormwater Management Plan for 272 Elm Avenue.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Zmuda. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, seconded by Supervisor Wyckoff. Condition, any additional comments, concerns? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. And now we move into the end of our agenda, which looks as though winter is definitely coming to an end because all of these are fun things that are about to happen in the spring and summer. So looking at G, our first fun one is the request to close West Arriba Avenue between Glen Road and Valley Road for the 50th annual St. Joan of Arc Church Festival. Chief Warner.
Thank you. Letter request was received from Festival Committee Member Paul Schroeder in January 2024 asking for assistance with the setup for the 50th annual St. Joan of Arc Church Festival. Mr. Schroeder had requested West Arriba Avenue between Valley Road and Glen Road be closed to traffic for added safety due to heavy pedestrian traffic attending the festival. This area along West Arriba Avenue will be used for handicap parking as well. Paul Schroeder indicated that festival committee members will be contacting residents who reside within the requested road closure to inform them of the festival and of the intended road closure. The dates for the festival are June 6th, 7th, and 8th of 2024. Festival committee members are requesting the roadway be closed each day during the festival operating hours, approximately 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Festival committee personnel will be responsible for placing the barricades out during the times of the road closure and also for removal of the barricades at the end of the festival and will be reopened each of those nights. This has been an annual event with no issues reported and are observed, and the road closure makes it safe for persons attending the festival. You know, we've had some participation with the festival itself. I think the fire department is trying to be involved as well, so it's definitely a decent-sized community event as well. A possible addition to this year's festival to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the event, they may have tethered hot air balloon rides in the fields on the north side of the property. Weather permitting and conditions permitting, they will have the pilot come out, take a look at the environment, and make sure that it's going to be something that's going to be safe for you.
Thank you, Chief. That sounds like a super fun amazing. Would that be a first here in Derry Township?
Sure.
I hope it all works out. That sounds great. Is there any questions for the chief about the road closures? All right. I'm hearing none. I'll offer a motion that we close West Arriba Avenue between Glen Road and Valley Road on the evenings of June 6th, 7th, 8th of 2024 from 5 to 10 for the annual St. Joan of Arc Festival.
I'll second.
All right. Any questions, concerns? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye. Right.
And the motion passes unanimously. On to our next summertime item, and that is the request to conduct the 2024 Love Inc. 5K race on Saturday, June 22nd, 2024 at 8 a.m. Chief Warner.
Thank you. A request was received from Dale Forshey of Love Inc. to hold the fourth annual Love Inc. 5K run on Saturday, June 22nd, 2024, starting at 8 a.m. The event starts and ends at the Spring Creek Church of the Brethren. Roadways involved in this race will be East Arriba Avenue, Para Avenue, Meadow Lane, Crest Lane, which is on MHS property, and Golf Lane, which is also on the Pershing School property. Roadways will be closed during this event for the safety of the participants, and all closure points will be manned. Any of the involved township roadways will be closed for approximately 30 to 45 minutes. Once all runners are on Crest Lane, any involved township roadways will be open. The race route is easily managed. Residents and others looking to access or leave places such as residents within the race route will be allowed to do so when it is safe to get them in there or out of there. All the posts are planned to be manned by special fire police from local fire departments and Mount Hershey Security. If overtime coverage is required by the Derry Township Police Department, the event organizer
Council is aware of the township's reimbursement policy and has indicated their understanding and acceptance of the policy. The police assistance is required, and it was requested that at least 2 weeks notice be provided to our department so we can schedule around that event.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Any questions or comments about the closing the roads for this run? All right, is there a motion?
I move that the request to conduct the 2024 Love Inc. 5K race on Saturday, January 22nd, 2024, starting at 8 a.m. on the various township roadways on a route approved by the Derry Township Police Department be hereby approved.
All right. A motion made by Supervisor Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Right.
Seconded by Supervisor Corrado. Questions or concerns? Hearing none. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And the motion passes unanimously. One final springtime request, and that is for the closure of Reese Avenue from Millard to West entrance of the Reese's plant on Saturday, March 30th, for the Reese's employee family Easter egg hunt. And one more time back to Chief Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Requested was received from Sabrina Frazier, the Reese's operations planner, plant operations planner, to close a portion of Reese Avenue for the Reese's employees family Easter egg hunt. The event is to take place on Saturday, March 30th, 2024, on the front lawn area in front of the Reese's plant. In order to protect the pedestrians, adults, and children alike during the event, they are asking for the roadway to be closed from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Traffic interruption will be minimal, and residents to the east still have ingress and egress via Hockersville Road and Square Avenue. Barricades will be set up and later removed by the organizers of the event. This event was an annual event until COVID hit. And then they kind of had to backstep a little bit. It had not been done for several years, and they're trying to bring it back. That's the reason for being on the agenda for tonight.
That's great. Glad that it's back in action. So I will offer a motion that the request to close Reese Avenue from Millard Street to the west entrance to Reese's plant on Saturday, March 30th, 2024 from 9 to 1 be hereby approved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Supervisors Luna. Any comments or questions? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. And the motion passes unanimously. So that brings us to the end of our business for this evening. So moving on to Supervisor Board and Committee Reports, we'll start to my left with Supervisors Muna and go down the lane. Go ahead. Oh, got it. Okay. So if you want to offer your...
I'm going to do the transportation.
Yes, perfect. Yes.
Okay. Supervisor Nutt and I had a transportation meeting earlier this morning. Nothing earth-shattering. We discussed the upcoming Hershey Park concert schedule and the associated Ridge Road concerns that will be remain in place for this season. A reminder from Perco that the Hershey Theater will be closed for the 25 season for a refurbishment. Chocolate Avenue and Ridge Road signals are in the process of being sent to PennDOT for approval to change the crossing to all four stops and allow greater time for crossing, as were brought to our attention several months ago. Work in Chocolate Town Park is not scheduled as of yet, and something near and dear to my heart are the crossing lights at certain intersections. We have four that are going to, that I'm aware of, that are coming up here, 743 in Hartley, Gateway Project, Para and Chocolate, and Orchard and Chocolate. And that's really about it. It was a relatively short meeting. It lasted, 45 minutes? And that was it. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Supervisor Corrado, do you have anything to add this evening?
We have an EPMA report, which Carter's going to do on our behalf. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Zamuda gave the transportation report, so I have no additional comment this evening. Supervisor Wyckoff.
GTMA met last night. received the update that PPL granted approval to generate power back to the grid at the Clearwater Enhancement Plant project, which is great. The Shank Park work is complete, and work, stormwater work at Spring Creek, Stoverdale, and Forest Avenue will all start this spring. Thanks for running well for DTMA. Thank you.
Okay. All right, moving on to departmental reports. We'll start with the Chief. Chief Warner, do you have anything additional from the police this evening?
Nothing additional tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Sassmith, Fire Department.
I have nothing for this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Clerk.
Just to let the board know that Monday, Greg Watts started with the department. He was hired as our new assistant department director. He started Monday, so we're acclimating him to the township. He'll be in a meeting at some point to introduce the board meeting. At this point, I didn't pursue that as he drives from somewhere around the Reading area to here every day.
Well, congratulations to Mr. Watts. We're happy to have him on board.
Yeah.
And I have seen personally how busy you and your folks have been with all of the downed tree limbs all throughout the township and the parks. That heavy snow really took down a lot of tree limbs. Very busy.
The question is, Tom, are you happy with him?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all that
I
heard.
We were 2 days in, but I believe the manager and I were both pleased with him as an applicant and pleased with our interviews. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think that's an accurate statement.
It speaks volumes.
All right. Anything additional, Mr. Cook?
No.
All right. Thank you. Mrs. Jacobine, Library Board.
So the next three Saturdays, we have some really fantastic programs coming up at the library. These are all taking place at 2 p.m. So on March 2nd, we have our solar eclipse programs. There's one for kids and one for adults. So families can come to one, adults can come to the other. We also have Paloma Celtic Dancing happening on March 9th. And then on March 16th, we actually have a virtual visit with an author. She won the Newbery Award in 2021 for When You Trap a Tiger, and it's one of our Hershey Reads events. And the library was recently the recipient of a Keystone grant, and a King grant to assist with replacing the air conditioning. So it's fantastic.
Nice work, Allison. When Chris shared that awesome news with us, I mean, that's awesome. So thank you so much. I mean, that is a huge savings to our taxpayers. So thank you for your hard work in making that happen. It's huge. And it sounds like there's lots of fun events coming up at the library too. Mr. Jackson, is there a report from...
As Supervisor Wyckoff mentioned, the culvert replacement under the entrance driveway at Shank Park was completed on Friday, so the park was able to open over the weekend. I went out there this morning also, saw that they completed the guardrail and all the turf restoration. So we're ready to go for spring, and weather permitting, the youth athletic organizations will get back on the athletic fields on March 18th. A couple weeks.
When do the park bathrooms start opening up?
That'll be around that same time. Again, okay. Weather permitting, whenever they can, it's safe to
unwinterize. Okay. Okay, thank you. Mr. Stubb, Township Engineer.
No report from me beyond what I described earlier with the meeting this morning.
Thank you. Mr. Emmerich, anything additional this evening? Any hearings to schedule?
I'm happy to say that I have no hearings to schedule this evening.
Okay. I think we can still have a bunch of them in our next meeting.
Yes, 13 of them.
Yeah, 13 of them, okay. And the Township Manager, Chris, do you have anything additional to add tonight?
Nothing really additional, just to echo Tom's comments about Mr. Watts. You know, we're very excited for him to come on board and has a positive impact with the department. Of course, you know, Bob leaves some very big shoes to fill. So we're excited for Greg. You know, looking forward to introducing him to the board and getting him around. Hopefully he's going to attend our staff meeting tomorrow for the first time, so we'll get to introduce him to everybody that's in this room here. But outside of that, I have nothing further, but you know, hopefully spring is here and no more snow. Trying to go with that kind of feeling.
Okay, that brings us to our last opportunity for anyone that's here from the public to offer a comment on the record. So if you'd like to offer a comment, please come on up. Name, address, and have at it for your public record comment.
Hi, Ricky Gamble, 39 Hot Creek Road, Hershey. This was just a follow-up to 2 weeks ago. I presented the revenue as far as entertainment tax in Hershey coming into our community, and I was under the impression we were going to get some type of a report as far as on the agenda how much money is taken in, who pays it, and what price, what percentage. I was shocked to learn, I was under the impression we got the 10% parking, 10% tax for the parking. But I also learned that every time there's an event at the Giants Center or at the stadium, it's concert, there's no parking fee. So how much more are we losing? Why is it only the people who attend the park have to pay the $25 or whatever is the park? We get 10% of that. Okay, that's great. But I think we're being denied the full amount we should have. So I'm asking, if possible, if you could put it on the agenda, and if Mr. Christman could give us a financial report on a quarterly basis to show what taxes are generated, who pays them, so we know where we stand with this entertainment tax. Because like I say, everybody should pay their fair share. But losing that 10% parking fee on concert nights, when they're taking in on an average of $1 to $3 million based on who the entertainment is, that's a lot of money we're losing. 75 cents, 85 cents versus $12 every ticket sold. So, and like I said, I just bought tickets for the Disney on Ice, and I got charged a $12 convenience fee. I'm calling that a tax. So where did that money go? So if Mr. Christman could present on a quarterly basis a breakdown of revenues collected and the amounts and who paid it. That's all I'm asking for. And I think this is to continue putting pressure on this because I think, like I say, you talk about it, but we've got to see some action now. Because with the economy, the way it is, the people in our community, we can't afford more taxes. That goes with the high school and the Dairy Town Center School District. They're talking about spending, what, $90 million to build a new school? You and I are paid for that. So let's get the people to come in and use our town to help us. That's all I'm asking for. So if we get that on the agenda at least quarterly, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, and Mr. Gamble, I know that you join us a lot. Mr. Christman has been, I mean, we've had the budget reports quarterly. He's been doing that. So I know you've been here when he's done that. But what specific item is it that you're looking to
I'm
add to that?
The entertainment tax collected.
Okay, because I know that that's usually and part of what is on Chris's update.
If I go to Stumpy's Hatchets, right?
Yeah.
How much entertainment tax do they collect from Stumpy's? How much do they collect from the escape room?
So you're looking on it on a business basis,
yes.
Like by each business
yes.
basis.
Yes, if I went and spend $10, how much of that $10 comes back to the township for entertainment tax?
Okay.
And like I say, who are we collecting it from, and what amount, what percentage?
I'm sure that Chris will probably come on your
that's
agenda.
That's not presented on the
end
budget
of the first
reports he gives. No, that's not in that
part. So you do have amusement tax, like how much we've collected. It's just not identified by person, but it's on those documents.
Given the aggregate amounts?
Yeah.
Not so much down into Stumpy's or
yeah.
H&R. You know, it's one number. We can certainly look at that.
Yeah, like I say, just to keep everybody in the loop so we can see where the money's going, how much, you know, we're actually losing or gaining.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gamble. Is that it for tonight?
That's it.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to offer a public comment? Okay. All right, seeing that no one else has come to the podium, our final order of business tonight is a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All right, I will second that. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
All right, motion passes, and the meeting is hereby adjourned. Good night, everybody.